Amen. As you're being seated, the children can be dismissed for children's church at this time. Blessed be the Lord God Most High. Amen. And amen. Well, as we've experienced some highs and some lows together, maybe this morning a little bit, but I want you to know that God is on his throne and he's not worried. If God is worried, we're in trouble. But he's not worried, and so we're thankful. We're thankful because of God's ability to answer prayer. And God has answered prayer in huge ways, in many ways. And we praise him today. And you know who doesn't like that? The enemy of our soul. He doesn't like that. And so he's going to do everything he can to defeat and discourage the church, to divide the church, to defeat the church, and to defeat you. But we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. And this morning you may not feel like a conqueror, but you are, because we are more than conquerors through Christ. Jesus has won the victory. And he's walking alongside of us. And he wants us to be aware of his presence. He wants us to be aware of his power within us. He wants to be aware that he is offering his peace that surpasses all understanding, even as we walk through, and some of us may feel we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but the word says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because his presence is there with me walking. So we praise his holy name. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them. And we are in our study of Hebrews. And we have just kind of really stepped on the pedal to the metal. And we've slowed down a little bit. And so we are now on verses 26 through 28 of Hebrews. And so if you have your Bibles, invite you to turn there with me. We don't have to tell you. You just have to turn on the news or the radio and so forth and try to discover some things. But just to review our hearts and minds a little bit, what we've studied so far in Hebrews 11 is that faith in God produces. What does it produce? Well, we know that it produces blessing because of what are examples of these members of the Hall of Faith exhibited in their walk with God. We know that they blessed their family, and from their speech they lifted up others and they encouraged others. We know that faith in God produces worship. And Jacob, he was bowing in worship over the head of his staff. We know that faith in God produces instruction because Joseph was giving instruction to the people of Israel as they were leaving, directions concerning that, of not leaving his bones buried, and Egypt wanted to be buried in the promised land. We know that worship, that faith in God produces courage and true identity and right decisions. We looked at that last week. And now we come to the next portion of God's word. And we can look on the news, we can look on, listen to the radio, and we know that we are living in, as one gospel song, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Well, we know that we are living in troubled times. This is a picture of the church that got blown up by a suicide bomber in Sri Lanka in April of 2019. So we know that for believers in Christ, we know that persecution is going to come because of our belief in Christ. The International Institute of Religious gave some stats, but also Open Door Ministries, and these stats here, I'm sorry you can't see it real well, but it says over 340 million Christians living in places where they've experienced high levels of persecution and discrimination. 4,761 Christians were killed for their faith, according to their estimates. 4,488 churches and other Christian buildings were attacked, and 4,277 believers detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, or imprisoned. And this was from their 2021 watch list. It's going on right now. The International Institute for Religious Freedom estimates that in 2017 that between 4,000 and 6,000 Christians were killed, and that in 2015 it was between 7,000 to 8,000. And at the high end of the scale, there was another outfit called the Center for the Study of Global Christianity. And they estimate that 90,000 to 100,000 Christians were killed from mid-2016 to mid-2017 every year for their faith. That's probably some news this morning that when you came to church, you were not going to even expect to hear. And yet, it is happening around the world today. Charles Stanley said this, God knows the Christian life is not easy. And it never will become easy, no matter how long we live. In this world, we will face opposition, both from the world and from the enemy of our souls, the devil. And Jesus told us, in the world, you have tribulation. John 16:33. But do you know the second part of that verse? We talked about it in Sunday school. Just keep your finger in Hebrews, and we're coming back. But I have to tell you this. John 16, verse 33. It states, the last verse in that chapter, Jesus is talking. He says, in the world you will have tribulation. The ESV says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The NIV says, or the New King James says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Take heart. Why? Jesus has overcome the world. So all the stuff that we seem to go through, the circumstances we find ourselves in, and for those of us who are privileged, and I say privileged, privileged to be persecuted for the sake of Christ, that means I'm being persecuted because I proclaim Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I'm being persecuted because I've been identified with the believers of Christ, my Lord. I am being persecuted because I've expressed faith into Almighty God and I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because of that, I'm being persecuted. It's a privilege. I can be filled with joy, good cheer. Why? Because Jesus has overcome the world. That's why this coronavirus is a little C, because Christ is victorious. That's why if we battle cancer, it's a little C, because Christ is victorious. And whatever else you want to put there. Conflict, chaos, confusion, criticism. Oh, they're all little C's because Christ is victorious. So let's look together at Hebrews. And how does this all tie in with the Hall of Faith? Well, we're looking at Moses. And the writer, the preacher of Hebrews is telling the believers, we're writing you all this. We're letting you know that Jesus is greater. He's far better than anything. And if you have that relationship with him, you will discover it. He is greater than the angels. He's greater than any earthly high priest. He's greater than Joshua. He's greater than Abraham. He is greater than Moses. And yet, we find in chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, and we find that these who called upon the name of God Almighty were attributed to faith, but they were people just like you and me. And we see that Moses is introduced here, and in verse 26, it says that he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Wow. And all throughout the chapter, you can look and see that there is those two words, by faith and by faith. And we're looking a little bit slower at what does faith in God produce? And this morning, as we focused on in verse 26, it says, he regarded the disgrace for the sake of Christ of greater value. Faith in God produces persecution. We don't like to hear that. I don't want to hear that. If I heard that probably before I knew of God's amazing grace expressed through his son Jesus Christ, taking upon himself all of my sin, past, present, and future, while he died on the cross, I don't know if I would have believed. What? If I follow Jesus, I might be persecuted, or I will suffer persecution? Other translation says he regarded reproach, or he regarded disgrace or rebuke or contempt or abuse or shame or suffering. It's not easy to live your faith in a society or a community or a culture where you are being continually shamed or disgraced or abused or have to hide your faith in secret. We in the States have no idea what that's like. But Moses did. And he had a choice. He could have said, well, man, I'm going to stay as the prince of Egypt, as Pharaoh's son, and I'm going to have the high life. I'm going to have all the wealth. I'm going to have all the treasure. I'm going to have all the fame. I'm going to have all the power. But he didn't. It says he regarded the disgrace of greater value for the sake of Christ. It's almost as if Moses himself, the reproach, he considered it, as one Amplified version says, he considered the reproach of the Christ, that is the rebuke he would suffer for his faithful obedience to God, to be greater wealth than all the treasures of Egypt, for he looked ahead to the reward promised by God. Wow. In Exodus chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it says there that when Pharaoh heard of the matter that Moses, you know, killed that Egyptian, it says that the Pharaoh sought to kill Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well there. And we know that part of the story. He fled. He may have been fearful that, oh, he would be caught and put to death, but he wasn't fearful of that ruler. One commentator says this, when Moses suffered, he suffered with Christ, the same Christ whom the writer is encouraging his readers to identify with. It is no doubt carried great weight with them to realize that they were being called to participate in the same kind of experiences and attitudes that this great Moses had had. Moses looked forward to the reward. He was not deceived by the glitter of the Egyptian court and the security of worldly safety. History, of course, has vindicated him. The choice Moses made has resulted in his influence still being felt today. And the writer does say that he gives this example because he wants the believers whom he's writing to, these Hebrew Christians, to not fall away. In chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it." He says we need to consider Jesus, who was faithful, the apostle and high priest of her confession, who was faithful to him, to God, who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. Chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 of Hebrews. So Moses equated that, hey, being identified with the people of God, and being identified as a follower of God, no matter the outcome, if I suffer with them or if I rejoice with them or if I'm persecuted with them, that's greater value to me than all the treasures and the power and the prestige of Egypt. Wow. In our world today, would we say that? All this world has to offer, all its fame, its glitter, all the treasures of the world. Or would you rather be identified with Jesus? When I think about persecution, I think about Jesus. In Matthew chapter 10, we really don't have time to develop all this, but there's a whole chapter, verses 16 through 42, how Jesus prepares his disciples for that big word, that persecution. He tells them in verse 16 of Matthew 10 to be wise as serpents, as harmless as doves, because the Pharisees were like ravaging wolves, and the disciples' only hope was to look to their shepherd for protection. The Lord wants us to be sensible and prudent. He says, beware of men. They'll deliver you to councils and scourge you in synagogues. In verses 19 and 20, he says not to worry about how or what you should speak, but the Holy Spirit will give you the words at the time when you are brought before them. Verse 21, brother will deliver up brother and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. In verse 22, it says there, Jesus says, you'll be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Verse 23, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. They will call you the prince of demons, as Jesus was called the prince of demons. And then Jesus says in verse 26, therefore, do not fear them. He says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And then he goes on in verses 29 through 31. He says, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Wow. I think of Paul in his persecution. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17 through 18 speaks of this. And he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power of God may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, and that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Verse 17 of that chapter says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Wow. Faith in God produces persecution. I can imagine that sometimes Paul might have said, just bring it on. Bring it on. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain, bring it on. Bring it on. If we go through suffering and our eyes are fixed on Jesus, it will also produce, our faith will produce very quickly, perseverance, verse 27. By faith, it says, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered. He endured. One commentator said, enduring to the end is not a way to be saved, but the evidence that a person is really committed to Jesus. Persistence is not a means to earn salvation. It is the byproduct of a truly devoted life. To persevere, to endure, to hang in there. He who endures to the end will be saved, Jesus said. One pastor in Birmingham, UK, gave some advice on how to develop perseverance. He basically said, draw near to God, hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. 1 Corinthians 15:57. He said, consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds. And then he said, do not give up meeting together, and then encourage one another. Wow. Isn't that interesting? Isolation. Yes, we have to be careful and cautious, but we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a body of believers so we can encourage each other in the faith. The third this morning is obedience. Verse 28, it says, Moses here by faith kept the Passover and the application of the blood, referring to Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 30. He kept, and Moses kept listening to God, and God kept speaking to Moses, and the Lord said this to them in Exodus 19:5. He says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. When we come to Christ, his Spirit takes up residence in our lives, and we begin to cultivate that relationship with the Lord. We're not perfectly holy in that moment, but his Holy Spirit takes up residency in us. And as God begins to speak to us, as we spend time in the Word and in prayer and in fellowship and in worship, then God begins to move in our lives and moves us toward being like Jesus, to be righteous, and we get to hear him. And because we love him, we obey him. It's out of that heart of love. It's not because of legalistic rules, but it's because of love that we show obedience. Moses had a transformational moment when he met God at the burning bush. And faith was birthed in him. By faith, then, when he heard God speak, he kept the Passover. He kept the commandments. He did what God wanted him to do. And they took the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts so that as the angel of death came through, they would be spared. He obeyed the voice of the Lord. He obeyed. So what does this mean, this heavy sermon? Persecution, perseverance, obedience. What does it mean for you? What is God saying to your life? Are you willing to be identified as a follower of Jesus no matter what. If the world is dangling its golden carrot in front of you, are you willing to say no and to say yes to Jesus? Will I risk being abused, shamed, ridiculed, persecuted for identifying with Christ? Am I willing to give up the treasures of this world for the treasure of Jesus? How will I respond to persecution? Am I willing to endure perseverance in the doing for the sake of Christ, no matter the cost? Am I willing to stand upon the Word of God and His promises, not compromising or watering down the truth despite opposition? When I started out in ministry, oh, just like the other day, not quite 40 years yet, but I'm coming close. I met a missionary, retired missionary from Africa by the name of Floyd Bowman. What a guy. He told me a story about he and how he was a missionary to Timbuktu. And how I said, and he was a missionary there in Timbuktu for over 40 years. And I asked him, I said, well, how many converts, how many people did you win to Jesus over those 40 years? And he looked at me and he said, well, one. I said, what? He said, one. It took 40 years to win one. And then he went on and said, but today there are so many churches because of the one. That's risking persecution and perseverance and being faithful and obedient to the Lord. And the question for us this morning is, are you? Are we? Am I? Let's pray. Father, we confess this morning the word to our heart is heavy because of the situations we find ourselves in, the circumstances, and sometimes, Lord, it's just because of the world events. It's really not because we've been making a stand for you, though we should make a stand for you. We should proclaim your good news to the on the rooftops. We should shout, Jesus saves. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll give us courage to do that. Give us courage to be your witnesses when appropriate, Lord, that the light will shine forth. And in those times when we feel we are being persecuted for our faith in Christ, that we will make a stand and that we will shine and that we'll be clothed with the full armor of God, knowing that you are with us in the battle because you've already won the war. So thank you, Lord, that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Thank you, Lord, that we who are in you have victory. Thank you, Lord, that you're causing all things to work together for the good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. So we pray that you'll help us keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Father, help us to consider him, Jesus, so we will not grow weary and lose heart. This we pray in our wonderful, victorious, coming King and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.